This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and right now we have assembled a roundtable of experts who live and work here in Miami to talk with us about some of the big economic issues that they have found here in Miami and maybe some of the things that we've missed on our week of coverage here. Dan Gretsch is news director at WLRN Miami Herald News. Paola Ayuspa Abbott is a reporter with the Daily Business Review, and Andrea Hewson is a professor of finance at the University of Miami. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, it's impossible in the course of the amount of time that we're here, which is 4 days on the air, to touch every story in Miami and in South Florida. And so I want to start off by asking you, what is the story that you think the rest of the country ought to know about what's happening in the economy here? And I'll start with you, Dan.
Well, one of the stories that is really under the radar, but I think is going to become a more interesting and important business story in the coming years, is an international organization named Endeavor, which builds entrepreneurial ecosystems in developing countries, specializing in places in Africa and Latin America, just announced that it's opening its first U.S. office, and they're opening it in Miami.
This is not a developing country, though.
Well, that's the thing. I think that this is really interesting because I do think that Miami is halfway between the developed and the developing world. The distance between the poor and the rich here is probably closer to Cartagena, Managua, Buenos Aires than New York or even Los Angeles. And I think the fact that Endeavor specifically chose Miami to create an entrepreneurial ecosystem speaks to two things. One, poor people tend to be entrepreneurs because they need to make a living and they can't do it the normal, traditional way. And with the kind of job loss we've seen in Florida, I think entrepreneurship is heavy here. And a lot of the Latin Americans who migrate here are the most entrepreneurial, the most risk-taking of their people. And then, frankly, I think that there is an entrepreneurship movement in the United States, broadly speaking, that is related to sort of tech. Many cities claim to be sort of the new tech center after Boston and San Francisco, and I think that there is evidence that that kind of thing is happening in Miami as well.
Professor Hewson, what about you? What story are we missing in the rest of the country that we ought to know about here in Miami?
I think one of the most amazing things I've seen, having lived through the previous condo boom and bust that we had in the 80s, I saw how long it took to recover from that, and I see how little time it has taken our real estate markets, both residential and commercial, to recover from the most recent downturn.
So you agree with George Perez, who told us this week, this is the Miami condo billionaire, that there is another boom going on in real estate in South Florida.
I don't know if I'm willing to call it a boom yet, but it is definitely a market recovery. In all of the major segments of the real estate market, vacancies are down, rents are up, people are happy, standing room only.
How did that happen? What caused that recovery?
Well, from my standpoint, I teach international finance, and the availability of international capital to come into this market.
It's the outsiders coming in.
It is definitely the outsiders coming in, both from the north, from the south, from the Far East, and from Europe. We have very, very vibrant capital market, and that has helped us recover from the crisis much more quickly than some other markets.
Paola Ayuspa Abbott, what about you? What story are we missing out on?
Well, on that note, it is fair to say that the condo development market was dead about 18 months ago. And when we talk about a quick recovery, we have to attribute part of it to the what is known as the South America business model. Developers here wanted to build, but there was no financing available for people who wanted to buy condos and no financing available for the developers to build. So they say, okay, so how are those developers building condos in countries where it's not in the culture to borrow money to buy a condo or an apartment? So they looked at South America, and they noticed that in countries like Argentina, most people, if not everybody, have to buy cash. So they said, oh, fantastic. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to copy the model where they're going to people give a fat down payment. We're going to use part of that down payment to fund the construction, to pay for the construction of the project, and then we get the remaining of the money at the closing.
So that's what's going on right now. People are just giving bigger down payments. There's less risk for the developer, and the buildings continue to go up.
That is happening. That happened a lot more about a year ago. I would say in the last 6 months, banks are beginning to fund about maybe 50, 60, 70% of the acquisition. But in the very beginning, when the condo market was dead, that is what saved the condo development market, was the South American model.
Dan Gretsch, what's the biggest problem here? What is the biggest economic problem in South Florida right now?
Education. We do not have a highly educated, highly capable workforce. The way I feel this personally, as someone who's lived here as a young professional for 13 years now, is there really isn't a really capable young professional crowd that has reached what I would call a critical mass. You see young doctors, you see young lawyers, you see a lot of realtors, and that's sort of it. This is a product of a couple things. One, we have a struggling and massive school system that is deeply underfunded. We have the fourth largest school system in the country in Miami-Dade County. We have a relatively weak and underfunded public university system, and the University of Miami can't do it alone. The other thing is that we have a problem with a brain drain. Young, capable folks tend to not make their careers in Miami.
Why?
There's a couple reasons. Where we're seeing a lot of this brain drain is in the arts. We have a very vibrant, young, creative class. And what happens is the second they get just even a little bit of success, they get snatched by Hollywood or by the New York art scene. And a fantastic example of this is Richard Blanco, Miami son, the inaugural poet for the Obama inauguration. He lives in Maine. And they're doing at the Arsht Center, which is our big performing arts center, a play that has all local actors, all of them working in television, most of them now not residing in town.
Professor Hewson, what about you? What is the biggest problem here economically in Miami?
I think the biggest problem is the lack of affordable housing close to the transportation nodes that would enable people to move efficiently between education, as Dan mentioned, work and home, and also have in the same neighborhood a place to care for their children before and after school or when they are younger, because it's very, very hard if you have to spend a lot of your time on a bus to produce efficiently and to make enough to afford to live.
And as we saw this week, the traffic here is very heavy in a lot of places. The roads, many of them are being expanded, and the public transit doesn't even get you from the airport down into South Beach, for example.
No, but there is a proposal in place to put a bid on for South Beach. One of the things that I find myself explaining to people that you don't think about, the water table is really, really high here. So one of your main transportation options, you can't go underground. Hmm. And that makes it very, very difficult to put good public transportation in place. There are initiatives coming that I'm very hopeful for, including the move to the beach. And the fact that the Metro Rail line has now been extended to the airport is definitely progress for us.
Paola, what about you? What's the biggest problem?
Well, a big challenge that South Florida is facing, actually the state of Florida, but South Florida is doing something about it, is the sea level rise. Four counties, including Monroe County, where Key West is, have gotten together and came out with a compact, which is a plan on what needs to be done to protect our well fields, mass transit, our roads from extreme weather. Recently, a week after Sandy, we had a road in Fort Lauderdale pretty much destroyed by high tides. We haven't experienced that before.
But the problem with that issue all across the country, and I live in New York where we did suffer from Hurricane Sandy, is that it still doesn't get the public's attention. The public doesn't want to make this issue a priority. Is that the same situation here?
Well, because we think there's something of the future. But it is here. The damage is here. People it's been inconvenienced by the road closed. The road has been closed. The traffic that has been detoured. It is touching our lives. Once it is touching our daily lives, people will make it a priority. And you know what? Local governments are making it a priority. And that's where it should start. It start with government. Then it goes to the state, local government, go to the state, to the federal. But, it needs to start somewhere. And I have the feeling this time is different.
To give you an example, I live in Miami Beach. When it's a full moon, we have massive flooding.
Hmm.
this is a development that's really, I mean, I've been here for 13 years. It's really a development of the last few. In Hallandale Beach, about half an hour north of Miami, they have a water plant that they use to draw fresh water from underground that they've had to move west. Because,
to get it further away from the ocean.
Because the saltwater intrusion has been so severe because of sea level rise.
Well, then I have to tell you, the city of Miami Beach recently approved a stormwater system master plan that took into account the sea level rise, which means every 20 years they're going to be evaluating whether, you know, the sea has risen to a point where they need to do something to their stormwater system. And part of that master plan, the approval, the support to that master plan came after Miami Beach, many streets in Miami Beach were underwater after Sandy.
I want you to listen now to one of the voices that we heard earlier this week. This is Natalie Nahas-Cortas. She lives in Sunrise, Florida. She's an immigrant. She's been here for 5 years, just got her master's, and cannot find a job.
I would say that America is the land of the opportunities. I thought it was going to be a little bit easier to find a job, but there are jobs. There are jobs. And that's why I think America is how you say it again, the expression?
The American dream.
The American dream. Because there are a lot of opportunities out there. They are there.
Andrea Houston, is that something that is typical here, that you've got all these immigrants that have come here looking for opportunity and they aren't having the easiest time finding it?
Well, I think part of the issue that we have in South Florida that happens all over the country is that the jobs that are open do not match the skills of the people who are looking for jobs. Mm. And I speak, you know, specifically on the tech side, science and technology type openings, and people who do not have the training. So people who are very intelligent but may just need specific training are finding it hard to get that training, and that is a crisis all over the country. We need to do a better match. One thing nice about South Florida, though, is that we do specialize in service, tourism, lifestyle type applications, and those will only grow in importance with healthcare as we get farther along.
Paola, there's a much bigger immigrant population here. Do you think that's helpful or harmful to the economy and the job market in South Florida?
You know, that is a great question, but we all bring different skills. You know, you have immigrants that bring skills that people who were born and raised here don't have. Immigrants tend to be resilient, and they have to be creative if they want to make a living. So often they start their own business, and when they start their own business, they hire people. So, you know, sometimes people see immigration as a negative, but you know, it brings something to the table.
What do you make of what you heard in that clip from Natalie?
It's very tough to find a job being a student visa. You don't really understand the system, how you know, the culture. And I wonder if maybe she wouldn't be better going back to her country with a degree from the U.S.
She said that's not an option. She can't even fathom going back to live in Venezuela under Hugo Chavez.
Okay, so then she has to work really hard at sending out resumes, making phone calls, and networking. She needs to get to know people. One thing is sending out resumes, but there's nothing like the personal and personalized, you know, approach. You know, her job right now is 8 hours of making phone calls, sending out resumes, meeting people, networking. That's her current job.
Dan, is that a story from Natalie Nahas-Cortas that you have heard in Florida again and again? Is that a typical story?
I don't know. That is the South Florida story. The story of arrival with hope and then recognition that it's going to be a lot harder, that Miami isn't the gold-paved road that people were sold in their home countries. But there is still more opportunity here than in many of their home countries, with the perhaps exception of Brazil at this point, and maybe Chile.
Where the economy is doing very well.
In both of those cases.
Yes, in Peru.
And Peru and slowly some other countries. There is still more hope of middle-class life in South Florida than in their home countries. And so they stick it out.
I want you to listen to what the mayor of Miami, Tomas Regalado, told us the other day. Listen to this.
I think that Miami is what the United States will be in 25, 30 years.
That attracted a lot of attention. Dan Gretsch, what do you make of it?
Miami is the city of the future, and it will always be.
You say that with a smile on your face.
Well, you know, there are very serious academic studies out there that suggest that the kind of reverse acculturation that we have in Miami, which basically means that when you come to Miami, you learn Spanish. When you come to Miami, you need to acculturate to the, quote, minority culture, which is the Hispanic culture, that kind of phenomenon will become more common. I can say it's happening in Florida. What we see right now is that the kind of white flight that we used to see from Miami to Broward, which is the county just north of us, is now Miami to Vero Beach, which is about an hour and a half or 2 hours north of here.
Going even farther away.
Because this sort of polyglot population that started in Little Havana is basically taking over the entire southern part of the state and maybe the country.
Andrea Hewson, what do you think? Is Miami the city of the future?
I think it definitely is. It is a microcosm of many different cultures. And my students that are bilingual, I tell them that's not enough anymore. You need to be trilingual.
Wow. Really?
And that's Spanish, Portuguese, and English.
Those are the three languages that are most important.
Those are the three languages.
Here.
Or people speak Portuñol, which will get you.
Because in other parts of the country, you might hear that Mandarin or Arabic is more important.
Exactly. But no, here our focus is on Latin America, and that's the key to success here.
What about you, Paula Ayuspa Abbott? What do you think? Is Miami the city that we should all be paying attention to as a future indicator for the whole United States?
Yes, I do. But there are some things that need to be improved. For example, here there is a huge extreme between the rich and the poor.
Yeah.
We have some of the most expensive condos ever built are being built right now. You have a project where the cheapest condo is $4 million or $1 million. But then you have 50,000 people on a waiting list for public housing. So if Miami is the city of the future, I hope that is corrected, because we want a perfect future, not an imperfect future.
Well, that's something we always think about from the outside looking at Miami, is it's much more like a Latin American economy. And part of that is big income inequality.
Totally. We do have a growing middle class, but we have a very big, challenging, financially, economically challenged social group, and then we have the super wealthy who buy homes in Miami that probably they visit 1 week in a year. So we do have similarities to developing countries where you have a very big lower class, you have the super rich, and then you have a struggle middle class.
One thing to think about is when sea level rise gets bad enough, we're going to all scurry north. And so we will indeed
hello,
take over.
Hello, Georgia. What is it that people outside of Miami don't get about Miami that you have to sort of explain to them when they get here? Paula Ayuspa Abbott.
Well, Miami is not all about fun. I mean, when I visit another city and I tell them I'm from Miami, they look at my pale skin and they say, yeah, right. People in Miami are always out on the beach and having fun. And no, Miami is hard work.
It's a serious city.
To live here is hard work. You play hard and you work hard.
Dan Gretsch.
One misconception that people have about Miami is that we all go to work in t-shirts and shorts. The only problem with that particular misconception is when I worked for Marketplace for 5 years.
Of course, yes. Many listeners may know Dan because he was our America's Desk correspondent for 5 years.
I did go to work in t-shirt and shorts. and people used to say inside of here at WLRN where I was based, did you just come from the beach?
Andrea Hewson, what about you? What do people not get about this city?
I think that what is most important to me that people who are new to the city learn is that we are a place that has all of the amenities that you could want. So that if you want to be a serious student, if you want the culture, if you want the arts, if you want healthcare, that we have all of that here, rather than, as Paula said, just being, a place to get a suntan. I am very happy living in a place that other people spend their hard-earned dollars to enjoy, and to be able to take advantage of that while living here, I think is wonderful.
Well, UM is known as Suntan U.
Not anymore.
Under Donna Shalala, it's true.
Dan Gretsch, news director at WLRN Miami Herald News, Paula Ayuspa Abbott, Daily Business Review reporter, and Andrea Hewson from the University of Miami. Thanks to all of you.
My pleasure.
It was my pleasure.